Oh, I was expecting another song. Oh, well. All right. Welcome. Let's give each other a clap for making it this morning. Well done. If you, right? It's the cold day. I know one of our cars didn't start. I had to get another one. So, all right. My name is Nigel. We'd like to welcome you here this morning. We've been going through the minor prophets. We're up to the prophet Micah. We spend a couple of weeks on that, and we're in the center of that book this morning. Good portion. Our title is God's Greater Deliverance. God's Greater Deliverance. Sometimes God delivers, but there's a greater deliverance, as we'll see in Micah chapter 4 and 5. Micah, 7 chapters. We're in the center, chapters 1 and 2, one section, 3, 4, 5, another, 6 and 7. Actually, we touched on something in 1 and 2. We touched on something in 6. So we're covering the middle section, 3, 4, 5, especially 4 and 5. Praise the Lord. I get this section. It's a good section. some may think, minor prophets, judgment. God is going to judge this people, that people, everything. It sounds kind of negative. Micah, the center of Micah is exceedingly positive. So let's go there. Let's read a couple of verses to give you an idea, and then we'll get into more of it in detail. Okay, chapter 4 is good. Go up to the house of God. Right? Is that good? Yes, it is. It's positive. Okay, here you go. Let me read it for you. Chapter 4 of Micah. And actually, Micah is repeating something Isaiah said, or the other way around. Anyway, they're saying the same thing. Micah and Isaiah chapter 4, Isaiah 2 and Micah 4 start out the same way, basically. It shall come to pass. God says, it shall come to pass. If God said it's going to happen, then it is going to happen. No matter what the present looks like, God is telling them, there's a future that has been determined. It shall come to pass. Right? That's good, and it's positive. It shall come to pass in the latter days, at the end of days, that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains. The house of the Lord, the temple where God is, will be the highest, the most exalted, uplifted, right? And it shall be lifted up above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. Peoples, not just Jewish people, peoples, ethnics. That's me. And you. People shall flow to it, and many nations shall come to it. Peoples will flow to it. Nations will come to it. And they'll say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. People will say this. They'll encourage one another. Let us go up to the mountain of the house of the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. That's what they're encouraging each other. Let's go up. For out of Zion, Jerusalem, it's all the same thing. Out of Zion will go forth the law, the teaching, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples. God, the Lord, will judge between many peoples and will decide for strong nations far away, and they will beat their swords into plowshares. Famous phrase. God will make decisions. The UN won't be making decisions. The EU won't be making decisions. You know, these kind of conferences, peace agreements won't be being made. Putin, Merkel, and others won't be making decisions. The Lord will judge, and the Lord will decide for strong nations far away, and they will beat their swords into plowshares. No need of weapons, military hardware. We'll get farm equipment. and they'll beat their spears into pruning hooks, farm implements. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither will they learn war anymore. And it continues, but that gives you a taste. Read you a couple of verses from chapter 5. I think we have those. Beginning of chapter 5. Okay, give you a taste. Now muster your troops, O daughter of troops. This is not that. This is the background. It's Jerusalem. Siege is laid against us. Jerusalem is under siege. With a rod, they strike the judge, the ruler, the king of Israel on the cheek. That's negative. Not so good. Here's the positive. But you, O Bethlehem, there's another ruler. Not the present ruler. God promised a future ruler. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth, from Bethlehem shall come forth for me, for God, one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. There's a present ruler who can't do that much. He's good, he's the best of the bunch, but he's not that good. God promises at the time of Micah, something more, something greater, a greater deliverer coming from where? Bethlehem. From Bethlehem shall come forth for me, for God, one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give him up at the time. Okay, that's right. That's an interlude. Amen. Bethlehem. Sound familiar? Bethlehem. You know, Bethlehem is where Jesus was born, right? Remember, how did they know? Answer from Micah. This is where it is. 700 BC, 700 years, 7 centuries prior to the birth of Jesus Christ, the prophet Micah prophesied specifically the place where this one, God's promised ruler, God's promised king, would come forth from, his birthplace. Answer, Bethlehem, not Jerusalem, not the capital, not the greatest city, small town, Bethlehem. From Bethlehem will come a ruler who will rule Israel. And there's more. It's not just for Israel. That's in this section. Amen? Amen. I like it. All right, let's go there. You say, where's Jesus? Let me give you the answer. Where's Jesus in Micah? Answer, he's here. He's here. He's in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. That's where he is. God promised Jesus, right? 700 years before. So Micah is before the fact Jesus has come. We're the other side, right? God's promises still apply. Amen. But the question is, we know where Jesus is. Where are you? You have got to ask yourself, where are you? Are you still in chapter 1 and 2? Are you in chapter 3? If you are, get in chapter 4. We got to advance, right? Get out of chapter 3, into chapter 4. Let me preface things this way. What's the hardest occupation today? What's the most difficult profession you can think of? Everybody said, my profession. If you're a teacher, you say teaching. If you're, you know, you're a programmer, you say programming. If engineer, you say engineering. If you're whatever. Me. Well, okay. What's the hardest profession in the Old Testament? Yeah, answers the prophets. The prophets. You just read them and read what happened to them. The most difficult, challenging profession, the profession with the shortest life expectancy in the Old Testament is the prophet. You read it. Jesus said, and his generation, he told the Jews, asked about their history, which of the prophets did you not kill? Which of the prophets did you not persecute? Answer, not many. They didn't kill them all. They gave most of them a hard time. Prophets, real prophets, true prophets, That was the most difficult profession, job, assignment at that time, in that age. Micah was a prophet, and he was a real prophet, right? You know, and Micah says, you know, there are other prophets, you know, you, Jerusalem, Judah at the time, the real prophets, you silence. You tell them, don't preach. We don't want to hear that stuff. Shut up. That's what you tell the real prophets. If somebody comes along to you and says, I'll prophesy about beer and blessing. I'll give you a message every time. What's your topic? Beer and blessing. Blessing and beer. You like that. You give him the job. We want to hear about beer. We want to hear about blessing. That stuff. Good stuff. We like it. He'll get the job. The real prophets, you shut up. Right? Micah says, Micah 3:8, I think we have it. This is Micah, picture Micah, somebody's impression. Micah says this, but as for me, he said, talks about your kind of prophets, beer and blessing. He says, but as for me, I, Micah, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. That's what I'm empowered by. I'm a real prophet. I'm not going to tell you about blessing. I'm not going to tell you God is happy with everything you did. I'm not going to tell you that things are getting better and better. I'm going to tell you the real situation. And when I do it, that's how I feel the Spirit. That's how I feel the power. When I talk about that, I feel the Spirit. I feel power. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to speak. I'm going to tell Israel their transgression. I'm going to tell Israel their sin. That's not positive. That's negative. But when I do it, I feel the Lord is with me. I have the Spirit. So I'm going to do it. And he did it. Amen. You know, I identify with Micah. I like him. I'm encouraged by that verse. Are you encouraged? You know, for the last 10 years, I have been writing. Because I've been looking at the teaching we received, you know, over the decades, the teaching, and I've been checking, and, you know, this is beyond the Bible, that's extra biblical, this is, no, that's not, you know, and I write according to how I feel, and people come to me and say, Nigel, I've had several times, Nigel, why don't you write something positive? Nigel, everything you write, you're telling us what's wrong. Look at Micah. That's my answer. My answer is Micah's answer. You know, yes, could I write something positive? Yes, our teaching was great. Yes, our practice was right. Yes, this was said and that was right. This was biblical and this was the most fantastic thing we ever heard. And we're the greatest. I could write that. But when God wants to bless us and God's going to bless us more and more, amen and amen. I could write that stuff. But when I do, I don't feel the Spirit. I don't feel motivated. I don't feel empowered. But when I write, you know, then people say, why don't you write about this? Why don't you write about that? I said, brother, I got enough to write about. Why don't you? I write about what inspires me, what touches me, what God should, I feel God wants me to write. That's what I write. And when I do, I feel I have the Spirit. And you may say, well, it's negative. There's some negative. Well, the Bible's never negative. And if you're off from the Bible, it's time to learn. If you're beyond the Bible, time to check. Don't assume everything you ever heard is according to the Bible. Check with the Bible. Amen. Sorry. You know, there was a man called Tozer. A.W. Tozer. I like him. He was mainly in Chicago. He's a preacher. He considered himself a prophet, a New Testament prophet. A.W. Tozer spent the last 5 years in Toronto. I think he died around 1960-65. He said this, quote, I have spoken myself off every conference platform, Christian conference. Does that sound good? You know what he means? He means, you know, what he means and what he explained is, you know, when I go, there are Christian conferences, you know, and I'm not degrading Christian conferences, but some Christian conferences tend to, they have a topic, you know, people like the topic, and people, there's a current topic, it's fashionable, and they have a conference on that. They would invite A.W. Tozer. He would not speak on that. It's fashionable. I'm not going to speak it. Everybody else is saying it. I'm not going to say it. His point is, I'm going to speak what God tells me to speak. If God tells me, I'll speak it. God doesn't tell me, I won't speak it. He did. And he got himself uninvited. Uninvited. But he was faithful. I like it. We need more of that today. Amen? All right. Micah's like that. You know, we should. Okay, let's go. Sorry. All that was introductory. But you've all got extra time today. Tomorrow's a vacation. Don't worry. You can sleep in. All right. Okay, so let's just get to chapter 3. Let's pivot because 3, 4, 5 is a section. Chapter 3 of Micah starts out this way. I think we have the verses, some verses. Chapter 3. Yeah. Okay, the end of chapter 3. Actually, chapter 3, Micah addresses the leaders, heads, rulers, leaders, you know, the different groups and others. The end of that chapter, he says this. You know, you read it. He says, and the topic, actually, if you look at it, chapter 3, what's his main point? His main point is the failure of the leaders, the heads of Israel, heads of Judah, rulers of Israel, the people in power, in, you know, in position. They have failed. They failed in their commitment before God. So the end of the chapter, last verse, Micah says this. Therefore, because of you, because of you. Who's the you? Who's the you? You mean say, you's Israel. No, it's not. Because of you, because of you, because of the leaders, because of the rulers, because of the heads, the head people. Because of you, Zion shall be a plowed field. Zion, that mountain, which is supposed to have the temple, Jerusalem, supposed to be the city of God, that Zion will be a plowed field. Jerusalem will be a heap of ruins. It won't be a city. It'll be ruins, decimated. And the mountain of the house, a wooded height. Where the temple is, that's going to be brush, scrub. You get it? The place is going to be, the city is going to be, that area is going to be a field, empty field. Jerusalem will be ruins. The temple will be scrub, brush, not a temple. It will be destroyed, decimated. Micah was the first prophet to prophesy, predict the destruction of Jerusalem. Destruction of Jerusalem. He's doing it 700, 710, 720 B.C., he's telling them, because of the rulers, because of the way things have gone, because of the trend of God's people, the trend that they are on, the path that they're on, God is saying, Jerusalem will be destroyed, ruined, temple gone, city gone, ruins, over, destruction, decimation. That's the destiny. That is the path that you are on. He's saying, and he's saying what? Who's responsible? Leaders. Leaders have responsibility. Destruction. Eventually, Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. Temple in Jerusalem and its temple have been destroyed twice in history. Number one, Micah prophesied 700 and something B.C. 586 B.C., the city, the temple was destroyed. Babylon destroyed the city. First temple, Solomon's temple, gone. city destroyed, people exiled. First. Second, destruction of Jerusalem, AD 70. 70 years after the birth of Christ, Jerusalem, temple, city, again destroyed. Second temple, gone. There's only been two temples. Jerusalem was destroyed those two times. Micah prophesies the first time. Amen. Jesus. So Micah has a word of warning. He's saying, you're going this direction. You're on this path. That's where you're leading. But Micah is giving a word of warning so that people can respond. People can change. Change course. Change your direction. Adjust. Have a change. Right? That's the end of, you know, just an aside. To be leaders among God's people, there's responsibility. Right? If the here, Jerusalem fails, Jerusalem's ruined, who's to blame? Answer, the leaders. It's the same in the church. Same in the church. If this church fails, if this church closes down, who's responsible? Answer, leaders. That's the principle. Leaders have responsibility. You know, I say this because I've seen it. Why do I say this? I grew up in a church in Manchester, England. I grew up in a church. I was raised in it. My father was an elder. There was a congregation. There were people. Eventually, what happened? That place closed down. I went back. The doors were shut. Building gone. The end. Who's responsible? Back it up. The leaders. Decisions were made or not made. Eventually, it closed down. Right? We don't want to see that. We hope that wouldn't happen. That's our responsibility. All right. So, you know, but man fails. Man fails. In Old Testament time, New Testament, man may fail. God is not going to be ultimately frustrated by man's failure. God comes in. God promises. So right after that prophecy, warning, you're on the wrong path. You're on the wrong trajectory. You're heading towards destruction, disaster. God comes in chapter 4 and says, okay, but in the end of days, at the end of everything, God's purpose still remains. God will get what he wants. God will arrive and obtain what he desires. What is that? That's those verses, chapter 4. Let's look at those a little bit. Amen. This is right after saying Jerusalem's going to be destroyed. Right after, in contrast to that, God, you know, Jerusalem may be destroyed, but ultimately God will not be frustrated. Ultimately, God's destiny remains the same. God will get what he wants. So God says through Micah, it shall come to pass. In the latter days of the end, the mountain, the house of the Lord will be established, the higher the mountains, lifted above the hills, and people will flow to it. There'll be a place. You know, let's not apply these literally to us. You know, different religions have a physical city. Muslims go to Mecca, that's their holy city. Jerusalem is the holy city for Jews. You can think of other religions, right? For us Christians, we don't have a physical place, but still the principle applies that what does God want? Answer, here it's a mount, the picture is a mount, you know, God's house, God's temple, the place where God is worshipped, the place where God is exalted, where God is expressed, that should have the highest place. Amen? There should be a place where God is expressed, where God is glorified, where you can come and learn about God. Amen? Okay, that's what we should be today. Brothers and sisters, amen. There should be a place where God is exalted, where God is uplifted, where God is glorified. That's why we come together, isn't it? You say, why do we sing? Why do we sing? Because we want to uplift. We want to praise the Lord, praise God. We want to lift him. Why do we speak? We want to express him, exalt him, learn his ways, we could walk in his path. Amen? What are we doing Sunday morning? Sunday morning is the first day of the week, isn't it? You start your week from Sunday, day one. You come here. What is this to do? We orient ourselves. How to get adjusted. How to guide my life. We hope this, what you do Sunday morning, as we come together, our hearts will be drawn toward the Lord. We'll be warmed up to Him. We'll be oriented towards Him. And that would set the direction for our week and for our life. Amen? So it's good to come. Come to sing. Come to worship. Come to listen. Come to praise. Amen? Right? Go up. Go up. Let me ask you, is in your life, are you going up or going down? You want to go up or want to go down? I want to go up. Oh, well, up, up, up. We're always going up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, well, up, up, up. We're always going up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There should be a place, you know, Jerusalem physically is high. It's not that high. In North America, we wouldn't call that a mountain. Sorry. That's a hill. But anyway, they call it a mountain. Okay. That's all they know. They never saw the Rockies. So, okay. You know, but there was a place. You had to go up. You had to go up. The people flow up. Isn't it? That's what it's. Come, let us go up. The peoples will flow to it. The nations will come to it and say, come, let us go up. You go up. You go up. Right? Amen. Go up. Go up. Go up. Go up. All the people of the Lord, go up. Let's go up. Let's go up. Go up. How do you go up? You go up by learning about the Lord, learning about God, experiencing God, getting warmed up with God, getting oriented toward Jesus Christ. That will help your life go up. Let's go up. Let me ask you, where is most of Toronto going today? Are they going up or are they going down? Is society going up or going down? Down, down, down. Okay, you're right. I feel so. In many ways, society's going down. They're not going to the Lord. They're not going toward God. They're going the other direction. And they're going down. Where are the people flocking to? Where are the people flowing to? Where are the people streaming to? They're streaming to other places. You know, this weekend, big promotion, new movie. What's the title? 50 Shades of Grey. 50 Shades of Grey. Just think about the title. Think about the title. The title says, implies, there's no black, no white. There's only gray. Get it? There's no black, no white, no right, no wrong, no good, no evil, no black, no white, only 50 shades of gray. That's the idea. That movie is supposed to build as a romance. This is Valentine's weekend. It's billed as a romance. It presents a billionaire. This story, Nigel, did you see the movie? No, I didn't. Are you going to go see the movie? No, I'm not. Because I want to go up. I want to go up. I don't want to go down. I know enough to know where that leads you. Right? The storyline is there's a billionaire businessman. He's got all the money, the looks, everything. There's a woman who's an employee who he wants a relationship with. That relationship is violent, is abusive, is sadomasochism, is perversion. And he, because he's got the position, the power, the money, he can get whatever he wants, no obligation, no commitment. And that today is billed as a romance. Let me ask you, is that going up or going down? When you go to that, are you flowing to the Lord or flowing to Hollywood? Is your path being made or set? Is your direction being set by the Lord, or is your direction being set by Hollywood? They're taking your money, they're giving you their celebrities, they're giving you their idols, and you're walking in their path, walking in their way. You want to go that way? That's going down. If anything's going down, that is going down. Let's say what it is. That's exploitation. Let's, brothers and sisters, let's go up. Let us go up. The end of this says, the end of this, I didn't read the whole thing. Punchline says, everybody else, I think we have the verse, everybody else walks according to their God. Everybody else walks according to their God, but we will walk according to our God. Do we have it? Where is it? Let me see. Five. Thank you. Thank you. I'm lost here. Five on your sheet. Okay. Five. For all the peoples walk each in the name of its God. People today are choosing their own gods. Some people choose Hollywood. Some people choose the movie idols. You know, American Idol, Canadian Idol, this idol, there's a lot of gods you can choose. People are choosing to walk after their God. Money, wealth, celebrity, they'll give you a God to follow. Okay, let them walk according to their God. But how about us? We, brothers and sisters, we, you got to determine, we, let them follow that God. See where it goes. It's going down. But we will walk in the name of the Lord our God. You got to follow, set your direction according to God, according to who he is, his character, his truth, his reality, to live the way he wants. We walk that way. That's our response. Amen. All right. In that day declares the Lord, I will assemble, let's go six. I will assemble the lame. Those driven away, the exiles, those afflicted, I will make a remnant, those cast off. I will make them a strong nation. You know, we all have our weaknesses. We all have our difficulties. If you don't have any now, just wait. You say, I'm young, I'm strong. I don't have difficulties. Okay, just wait. You say, I'm not lame. Just wait. I'm not afflicted. Just wait. It will come. Okay. Eventually, God will use those who are, you know, have problems, limitations, difficulties. You know, the world says, we don't want them. We don't take them. Okay. God wants them. Do you have limitations? Yes. Do you have weakness? Oh, let's be stronger. He said, oh. Don't be so humble. Actually, don't be so proud. Do you have weakness?
Yes. Yes.
Do you have limitation?
Yes.
Do you have problems?
Yes.
Okay, God wants you. God wants good news. God wants you. God says, I'm going to take those people. The people who think they're strong, who think they're great, I'm the greatest, I'm the strongest. Okay, they're going to need some more time. I'll take these. Those people who turn to God, feel they need God, I'm going to take them. That's you. That's me. I'm going to take them, make them a strong nation. That's my kingdom. I'm going to use them to bring in my kingdom on the earth. Amen?
Amen.
That's you. That's me. God promised. This is our destiny. This is our destination. God is going to bring us there. We can't bring ourselves there. Israel, Judah couldn't bring themselves there. They needed another deliverer. That's why you need chapter 5. This is God's destiny for Israel and for us. This, chapter 4. Chapter 5 tells us, you can't get there on your own. You pick the best of the bunch, the best king you have. That's not going to bring you there. Chapter 5. Muster your troops, daughter of troops, siege. Jerusalem was under siege. Did they have a king? Yes. Was he a good king? Best of the bunch, one of the best. But still, they barely got delivered, barely escaped, barely. You know, that's history. Jerusalem was besieged 701. Sennacherib, the Assyrians, you can read about it. There's artifacts in the British Museum about that, right? Okay, they barely escape. Hezekiah is a good king, but he's not up to the standard. You can read about it in the material. God says, okay, you know, you need a greater deliverance. You need a greater deliverer. The deliverance brings us to chapter 4, that destination. Who's the greater deliverer? It's Jesus. Da-da-da-da-da. It's Jesus. Who's the deliverer? Da-da-da-da. You know, I remember the kids thing we had. That was good. The last king we had people, da-da-da-da-da-da. It's Jesus. Was that the line? It's Jesus. Yeah, answer, who's the greater deliverer? It's Jesus. So God promises, one will come forth from Bethlehem, right? That's eventually Jesus. You know, we know the story. You know, 700 years later, Jesus is born, the wise man from the east, from China, no, India, maybe, Persia, maybe. The wise men from the east saw the star. They came to Jerusalem. They asked, where's the king, right? The leaders in Jerusalem, Jewish leaders, they knew it. They knew the answer. Where will the Messiah, where will the promised king, the Christ, be born? Answer, they knew it. They quoted the verse, right? They said, you. Why? Bethlehem. Because Micah told us. 700 years before, Micah told us it's Bethlehem, right? So they went there and found the baby, right? Jesus was born there. This long-promised leader, ruler came to rescue his people, deliver his people. Not only the Jewish people, also us. I think we have a little bit more of that verse, right? I think we might have to back up Micah 5. Do we have it? Yeah. Do we have something more or not beyond that? Okay, yes, okay. They quoted, you know, the leaders quoted chapter 5, verse 2. You, Bethlehem and Judah, out of you will come a ruler. They didn't quote verse 4. They should have. Verse 4 says, and he will stand, this ruler, leader, will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will dwell secure. Here's a good line. For now he, this ruler, leader, he shall be great to the ends of the earth. He shall be great to the ends of the earth. Jesus came not just for Israel, Jerusalem. Yes, he did. But he shall be great to the ends of the earth. Where's the end of the earth? Where's the end of the earth? You say, it's a ball. It doesn't happen. Kaylee, where's the end of the earth? Well, the end of the land. Where's the end of the land? Where's Steve? He just went there. You went to the end of the earth. New Zealand. You go to Australia, you're getting close. You go to New Zealand. Look, you go off the end of New Zealand. That's it, buddy. Right? You know, South Africa, right? I don't know whatever you think the end of the earth is, right? Anyway, the Bible says Jesus will be great to the ends of the earth. Amen. Right? And that's right. That what has been happening for the last 2,000 years. Jesus has been spread. His message, his salvation, his deliverance has been spread. And it's reaching to the end of the earth. Who's doing it? Jesus. Through who? Us. The Christians. Christians have been taking the message to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. Let me close with this story. There was a Christian teacher in London, England, contacted the rabbi, chief Jewish rabbi in London. They had time together. He said, they're both like scholars. He said, you know, the Jewish people, Israel, should be a light to the nations. That's the Old Testament. You should be a light to the nations. The nations should be able to see. That's Micah. The nations' people should be able to see the God of Israel. How great is our God? The rabbi said, we haven't done it. You Christians have been doing it. We Jewish people have not done it. You Christians have been doing it. He said, the rabbi said, do you know how many Jews there are in China? He said, no, I don't know. The rabbi said, eight. Eight. I don't know if this is right or not. I'm just telling you the answer. Maybe there's eight practicing, you know, serious Jews. There's probably more. Anyway, the rabbi said, you know how many Jews there are in China? Eight. He knew of eight. How many Christians are in China? How many Christians are in China? Millions. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure we get different answers. Millions. Some, you know, 30, 60, 90. There's millions. See, that's his point. The rabbi said, you know how many Jews in China? Eight. You know how many Christians? Millions. Why? Because you Christians have been spreading the message about the deliverance, the salvation of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. He will be great to the ends of the earth. Amen? That's our job. That's our assignment. That's your assignment for this week. We're making Jesus great to the ends of the earth. All right? Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Lord, you're high, you're lifted up, you're the real deliverer, you're the promised one, and you came, you resurrected, and you have the highest name. Lord, we want to orient our life toward you. We want to go up. Lord, this week, we pray our lives will be going up to you, going up morally, physically, spiritually toward you. Lead us and guide us. Bless everyone here this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to finish there. We will continue next week. You have a good family day. If you're going to have Happy New Year, Happy Chinese New Year to you too.